percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious.
Yeah, it's Sunday night. Already. Where'd the weekend go? And coffee, it's here. Hi, I'm Wendy. If you found me, congratulations. It's been a little while. New time, new date, and hopefully a whole bunch of new, great, fun content. Wendy'sCoffeeHouse.com. You can follow along there. Check out the upcoming interviews, guests, that kind of stuff. Tonight we're going to talk with Irma Slade. She's a psychic medium, and she's had some really tremendous results, some of it on camera, when she looked and said, oh, there's an orb over there. That's where the ghost is. They picked it up on film. So I wanted to talk with her about some of the stuff she's experienced, especially if you have a house that's haunted and want to know a little bit more about whether you want to live with a ghost or maybe tell the ghost to take a hike. That might be something you're thinking about doing one way or the other. We'll get into that. That's just a couple of minutes or so. First, the fun stuff in the news. This is so, I love all the Fortean stuff, the Bigfoot stuff, the UFO, the unexplained. CIA came out with 13 million some, not going to count them all, but somewhere in that vicinity of documents that they have just released, the classified CIA documents on aliens, UFOs, on the list of the Stargate Project, that's in there, poltergeists, and then How to Write in Invisible Ink, apparently that's in there somewhere too. that would be fun. I think later on, you know, find out how much you really bought something for. And there was the thing with that. Uri Geller is in there. And what I find so fascinating about that is that they tried to discredit this guy so many times. There's been, you know, a lot of joking and yeah, right. He isn't legit. Well, the CIA thinks otherwise. There's a Dr. Green who's referenced in some of this stuff, talking about what they did and the kind of experiments they worked with him on. A 32-page document, the research on Geller, and that was the Stargate program closed in 1998. I have talked with a couple of folks who were associated with that. Joe McMonagle is one of them, and I think it's just fascinating the kind of research they were doing. And one of the things, one of the experiments, they asked him to draw something that they picked a word and said, draw bunch. So what he did was he drew drops of water coming out of the picture. That's what he said he saw. And then he talked about purple circles. Finally, he said he was quite sure he had the picture, and his drawing was a bunch of grapes. So there's, and I'm not giving you this verbatim, okay? You read this stuff yourself if you want to find out the details. But the one thing that I thought was also really interesting, there was, he did better on the tests where he said that there was nobody who was a skeptical observer. So as long as there wasn't, you know, an element in the room going, uh-uh, not going to happen, basically blocking it, then he was okay. The other thing that they said that, this is according to the Daily Telegraph, he said one international agency, he didn't name them, asked him if he could kill a pig with his mind. I was asked to stop the heart of a pig. He said it was probably so they could stop the heart of Andropov, who was the head of the KGB at the time. They were probably, you know, he doesn't know, but yeah, he figured there was some nefarious intention with that. Doesn't say if he did it, but just how intense that was. Coffee, since this is Wendy's Coffee House and coffee things are really important to us, your morning coffee could slow down the aging process. One more thing about the morning coffee being good for you. Apparently, latest research study out just recently, caffeine intake is associated with lower activation levels of inflammation that is in relationship to causing buku problems for the heart, and that would be helpful. I'm assuming it also would translate, because it says caffeine, not just coffee. That's just the news shortcut to say it's coffee-related, but I'm guessing tea would fit in that category too. However, since we're drinking coffee tonight, we're going to go with coffee. And I'm so sorry you missed out on this opportunity. The Lego Professor of Play, I think the deadline was Friday. I missed out on it too, so we're in the same boat. But that one would have been fun. Really, this is, they've got it, and I think they've had some other jobs too. It's at the University of Cambridge, the Professor of Play, Development, and Learning. Basically, it's a permanent post, and you go in there and you just go, there's no pressure, no big agenda except figuring out whether it's helpful, enhances learning, and helps children feel better about what they're doing. And, wow, what's not to like about that? I accidentally found a fantastic new sci-fi show. I found this show and then read about how fantastic it was after somehow stumbling upon, you know, when you're doing the Google thing and playing around on the internet and something actually pops up. This was a thing with cats. The Expanse, season one, recap with cats. Had no idea what I was looking at. Well, okay, fine, it's a cat thing. I'll look at it. So I'm looking at seeing the recap, and it's really cute. And if you're going in there, there's the main character's name is Julie Mao. Well, of course, the first line of the thing is, oh, excuse me, Julie Meow for our video. It's absolutely, okay, the cat video was fun. Got my interest. Yes, fine, suckered me into it. But the show, dynamite. This looks like something you would see on the big screen. If you have not checked it out, The Expanse, you are just in time to get caught up. And yeah, I found some on YouTube. You're just in time to get caught up on season one, because season two, I think, kicks off February 1st. And this is the upshot. Hundreds of years in the future, things are different. Humans have colonized the solar system and become an independent military power, all right? And there's conflict. And there's, what do they call it? Kitty escapades. Maybe that's not what they call it. Something like that. And then there's something that's real, next to surreal, 1950s Western featuring a guy named Trump who wanted to build a wall. Snopes got a whole bunch of activity on that one. It's right. It's true. Trump in Trackdown. The guy threatens to sue Texas Ranger Hobby Gilman, and because he said he's saying bad things about it. This is worth looking at. So check that out. I'm going to post this stuff on Wendy's Coffee House, okay? In the meantime, we had one little incident here that caused a lot of problems. Some trucker lost his marbles. 38,000 pounds of marbles on an Indiana highway. Took him a while to clean that one up, just so you know that there is stuff going on out there. And the best thing you're going to see, elephants in onesies. Okay, that's the picture on Wendy's Coffee House as soon as I find it. All right, Irma Slage has a couple of books out. I've talked with her before. She's really amazing at tracking down things and just saying, here's where the ghost is in the room. And then you'll see the orb in the picture. And some of her results have been publicized. You know, media has covered her. She's one of her best, I think, experiences is at the Winchester Mansion. And that's a really cool story. So Irma Slage coming up next on Wendy's Coffee House. Stick around.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Otho, are you doing
work
this?
Work all night and a drink of rum.
Yep. Haunted. One of my favorite. Beetlejuice. Oh, if you live with ghosts, this isn't anything new to you, but sometimes they can be annoying, okay? Irma Slage is used to dealing with that kind of issue, and I wanted to get her in just because it's the first of the year. Nice time to get rid of a few excess hangers-on. So, hey, Irma, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm great. I'm really thrilled because this is a good time for you. Like it's only 2 hours. Before, it was 4. It would have been 4 a.m. Right now, it's 6, so we're in good time, good shape to get this going.
That sounds great to me.
I have a question on in terms of when you did the Winchester Mansion tour.
Yes.
Can you refresh people what goes on with that when you do that event?
Well, when I was on NBC, they had me there, you know, a few times, and I would go mostly into Sarah Winchester's bedroom where she had died. But the one time we were there, and it was on Friday the 13th, it was on a time when they were doing live feed. So that really was like 6 in the morning. And the live feed just stopped. Everybody left the room but me. And Sarah Winchester said, come on, I want to show you something. And she showed me down the hall and around to where her seance room was. And then I said to her, listen, I'll never find it back to the room. You're going to have to help me. And she said, don't worry, I'll get you back there. And she sat there and she showed me a few things in the little room that she used to sit at. And finally she said, it's time to go. And she showed me around and around and around. And as I walked into the room, that was the room that she died, everybody started coming back, the cameraman and the man who was going to interview me and everybody. They never even knew I left the room. It was amazing how that can happen.
Well, and that part I think is so fascinating because for you, this is like somebody's right there. And you've had this experience since you were a kid. Well, younger.
Yeah, younger. Yeah, that's true. She was there, just like anybody else is there that I talked to. The only difference was she was in spirit form.
Was there anything that you learned from her that would be helpful that maybe nobody else had picked up on?
You mean about her life or about her feelings?
Yes.
Constantly, as we go through the house, the docents would say, see this plaque that she made? No one knows or no one understands what it is or what it says or what she means. And I stood there and she whispered in my ear, it means people are narrow-minded.
Wow.
I know. Well, you could only imagine in her time, she kept building and building and she had lots of money. And no one understood what she was doing or what she represented, or maybe they didn't know about spirits or her thoughts.
Well, that's my question, too, because that is one heck of a house. I have never been there. I've seen pictures. I've seen the tour and all. But that is, what did she explain why so many rooms that went nowhere?
Because she had to keep building night and day, because a psychic told her if she keeps building, then all of the spirits who her Winchester rifle had killed would not come and get her.
Oh, that would be a good incentive.
Yes, and not only that, she wouldn't die.
Okay, so how did she eventually die?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but she was in bed for a while, so I imagine that she had some kind of a disease of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly, but she was in bed for a while. So whatever happened, it obviously can't work. We have to pass on sometime.
Right, right. But it was a good hedge.
It was a good run.
Well, okay. So, and I know that's not a fair question, but I. The thing about Sarah is that it's so fascinating is that house, there's so many unanswered questions and hidden rooms. And you said you went to the seance room and things that people wouldn't expect to find. And when somebody has that kind of money, you think, well, couldn't she have done something to help in a different way? But especially if a psychic saying you have to keep building, otherwise they're going to come get you, that would be, I think, frightening.
It would. And not only that, they don't have many pictures of her. Imagine, she didn't want her picture taken. She wanted to be left alone, so she was very solitary except for the people who lived on her property. And those were the people who were her builders because it was night and day.
I want to change subjects. When you get into some of this work that you do, you also help track down people in terms of, helping law enforcement or at least, giving a little bit of extra information that might come in handy in that case. What is that like?
Well, actually, I don't like doing it too much because it's kind of sad and it can be gory or whatever. And so what I do is I think of it in terms of I'm giving them a little bit information that they can take with it and do whatever they want, because I'm not law enforcement. I really don't have training in law enforcement. So I tell them certain things, and then they use that to continue whatever they want to do as far as investigating.
Well, and that was what I read in part of the bio, and I just know that when you get into that element, it can be pretty dark.
Yes, and I really have a lot to lose, so I make sure that I tell them not to tell anybody. And I think it shocks them when I say, listen, don't tell anybody my name unless you think it's important, because I have a lot to lose. I don't want anybody to know. These people are really dangerous. They have no conscience. They have nothing. They can do something and then go out to lunch, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. When you first, your first experience, and you realized that, I think it was a neighbor who came to tell you something, can you relay that? Because that would seem like all of a sudden, from one day, life is normal, and the next day you've got somebody who's talking to you who may not have, you know, is just deceased.
Yeah, that is quite a kicker, isn't it? I remember looking out my front yard and saying, oh, my God, the trees look the same. The grass looks the same. But I know I'm not the same and never will be. And after she came to visit me, it was after she died, and I saw her as clearly as I would see anybody. The problem was she was in my bedroom. She was upstairs. So I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, call my husband. So I thought I was crazy. I went to the phone, and actually, I hung it up because I thought, something's wrong with me. What's going on? And then when I did call him, he told me that she had died, and I said to him, no. I said, put her on the phone. I thought he was kidding me because she was sick, but she didn't tell anybody. So she did die, and then after that she came and told me to bring a happy birthday cake to her son and different things like that. But, wow, when I saw her, and then I realized that during my lifetime I had actually seen people for that. I just didn't put it together.
It wasn't obvious.
Well, it was obvious. It would be have been obvious had I been more aware of what was going on. If you think of it, there's a spirit in front of me, and I just say, hi, and then keep going in my life, you know, not even thinking about it until a friend of mine dies. I see her clearly.
Okay. Well, that's what I was thinking as you're talking about that. Are they transparent? Are they fully formed? How would you, and especially if you don't know that they're deceased and they're in front of you with a friend, you kind of had a clue, you knew her and you could connect the dots. But when someone is approaching you and you don't know them, how does that work?
You still see them clearly. Whatever they want to show you is what they show you. For instance, I do readings all the time during the week and sometimes weekends, and I see and can describe person exactly what their loved one looked like.
Okay. So you're seeing a full picture.
I have a full picture of what they look like, and usually it's what they look like when they died, because the other person can see clearly what that person looked like in their mind's eye rather than maybe going back 50 years ago. So they'll come to the them looking older, in other words, and what they would expect them to look like. If they had a beard, they have a beard. If they have wear glasses, they wear glasses. It all depends on what they want to show me.
Okay, and you also have experiences with pets?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The pets are so smart. You know, this one pet wanted a toy. That's all she wanted, her own toy. So I told the person she wants the toy and she wants it in her little area, and the pet was still alive. This is the thing. So I talked to people who are alive or deceased, and I also talked to pets who are alive or deceased, and she did not buy her pet dog her dog a toy. So I went away out of town. Believe it or not, the dog followed me to tell me, you get back to her and tell her I want my toy.
So he knew. He told on her. He told on her.
Oh, he told on her, and then I went back to her and said, listen, she wants the toy.
Oh, how sweet. Okay, so you have a few books out. The one I saw, the one on Smashwords, The Guide to Having Your Own Psychic Contact?
Yes.
Okay, that's still available. I thought you had a couple of others, Psychic Encounters. That one's one of them, or was it one of Phases of Life After Death?
Yes, both of them.
Okay, so those are still available.
Yes.
Okay, so what I wanted to get into in the next break is there. I've had people approach me talking about haunted houses, and I've experienced my own with that kind of thing. And I thought, well, maybe you could help in terms of sometimes there's this sense that some people would like to experience more and open up more, and a haunted house gives them an opportunity to do that. And other people would like to say, uh-uh, go away, please. And sometimes that isn't as easy to do when they were there first. So I would in the next break, could we get into some of that kind of activity and what it's like to live in a house that's haunted and why it might be helpful to do a little homework and possibly understand what that means to you physically when you have guests who don't breathe. Does that make sense?
Oh, I'll tell you about my last house that I just moved from.
Oh, good. Okay, good. All right, because that'll help. I just, with some of this stuff, it's when you've experienced it, you know. And you don't have to say, well, what if, or, you know, imagine this. It's like, okay, you're not going to tell me it's not happening because I know, so get out of my head. You know, get out of my face. Just let's deal with this. So for anyone who's listening who knows what I'm talking about and has had this experience, this is a little moral support, knowing that there are people out there who've been there, done that, and appreciate that this isn't always a fun thing, and you can't talk about it every day at work because it drives people crazy or it frightens them. Okay? So, Irma is not afraid to talk about this, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more and kicking off with what she experienced with her house, so that's perfect. And in the meantime, grab some more coffee, take a break. We're talking with Irma Slage, her website, irmaslage.com. You can check out the Blogspot, too. And, of course, we'll put some of this on the Wendy's Coffee House site so you can follow up if you don't have time to listen to the entire show right here on Talk Radio KCMO. So if you're going into a haunted house, you kind of want to get your energy worked up a little bit because they drain you. Really, really, most of the time, if you're going into a place that's active, then sometimes it's a headache or sometimes you just feel nauseous. Just that's usually a clue for me anyway. It's different for everybody, but just that seems to be for a lot of people. There are some physical elements that are attached to that. And that's why I wanted to talk with Irma about how this works. Okay, so let's get back into talking with Irma Slage, who's a psychic medium. And you said the house you just moved from was active?
Yes. Also, I wanted to say I'm on Facebook, too.
Okay.
Under Irma Slage. So if anyone wants to check out the things that I write daily. The other house was awful. First of all, I had to clear it out at least once a day, once a week. It never let up for 6 years, and I never had that before. It's just that I had to constantly clear it out. There's certain things that I always tell people who think that they live in a house that's haunted. One is your sleep is disturbed. They keep waking you up.
Yes.
You have nightmares. You just can't believe the nightmares, awful dreams that you have. You have relationship arguments with people that you've lived with, and everybody seems to feel bad about each other arguing. You have depression. You have the feeling of dread, and you're completely upset. Just feel upset. Nothing feels right, and it is a physical and a mental thing. I through houses all the time for realtors because they can't sell the house. So what happens is there's a residue of people who lived in the house. There's also maybe there was a lot of arguments. Usually happens maybe divorced couples or whatever. Sometimes I'm in there and someone died in the house. It could be from the land. And before you turn around, there's something wrong in that house. And as soon as someone walks through the door, they say, no, this house, something about this house doesn't feel right, and then they don't buy it. And so I go through the house either physically or remotely and just make sure that everybody is out of there and that the air just flows. And I either there when I go different houses, I usually go and talk to them remotely. If it's just one or two spirits, I can do that. Or I send my guide to escort them out of the house. The most fun that I ever had was there was a lady who was a nun in someone's apartment, and walked up to her, and I said, you know, you don't have to stay here. And she looked at me and she said, what took you so long? I've been waiting for God to send me you to tell me where to go or how I am supposed to go. And I just find it amazing that these people are waiting for someone to show them where to go. So it's a really good idea if you do have spirits that are in your home that make you feel uncomfortable, just to make sure that you get somebody who knows what they're doing to make sure they leave.
Okay, so my question is, so this house you were in 6 years, did you not get an impression before you moved in?
No, I didn't, and they know what they're doing, don't they?
Yes, they do. That was sneaky, wasn't it?
Yes, it was sneaky. I mean, I've seen things where if someone told me that they saw it, I would say to myself secretly, I have to see this for myself. For instance, I took an earring out of my ear, and I'm watching it drop to the floor. As it dropped to the floor, it disappeared.
Oh.
They play tricks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. A port, I think. Can you make it do that, or do you ask the spirit to do that?
To do what? To escort them out?
No, to a port, to bring an object from one space to another, make it disappear, make it reappear. I know there are some people who are actually, they're able to connect and bring, you know, and displace, basically, is what it is, an object.
Well, I think, I know the spirit did it, who was a trickster.
Did they bring the earring back?
Well, I found it later in front of my bed, and it was in the middle of my bedroom when I dropped it in front of my sink.
Uh-huh, yeah. See, that there are some local towns here in this area where I've had people tell me about how haunted the house was. There was one, the family, and there was one child still at home now, but the other two who have since moved away refuse to come back, and the one who's there won't go upstairs because of that's where the activity is, and it's a pretty intense activity. And this kind of stuff, when it happens, there's not a whole lot of, I think, support for it, because these people, when they talk to me, you know, it's their reality and it goes on every day. But I'm one of the few people that they tell, because I, for one thing, I understand it. But I think that is hearing it from you and hearing that, you know, this is what happened and you were there 6 years and you are experienced with this and you still couldn't redirect it or make it stop is kind of helpful as well, saying sometimes you just have to move.
No, I did make it stop, but how I made it stop was I got fed up with it. You know, at first it's not annoying. At first it's like, wow, this is really cool. I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing all these things happen. And then one day I lost another something or another, and I just shouted at them, this is it. That's the end. That's do not do it again. And they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So but to say that I lived in that house comfortably, I can't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what I wanted to get into, too, the sleeping thing. It's very disruptive. And when you know that there's something else there, and just when you think you're comfortable, you hear a noise, there's a knock, there's a bump, there's, you know, a door slam, footsteps, the temperature changes in the room, or you feel somebody's breath on your ear. There's nobody there. This stuff it isn't fiction. It's actually somebody is in your space and trying to get your attention. Sometimes it isn't a negative thing. It's because there is an issue that you need to know about. I've had people who said that there was a fire and, you know, there were loose wires and this thing was disruptive until that issue was addressed.
That's true. And here's the thing with that other house. It's 6 years later since I left that house. And I've learned so much that I actually went back to that house, at least remotely, and I got rid of them because I learned more about how to do it for these type of people who really don't want to leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, that house is clear now. The house across the street, two people died in from where I live. I won't tell you where that is.
Yeah.
But before the next person moved in, even though I didn't know who was going to move in, I cleared that one, too, so that they wouldn't have any problems. So I've learned quite a bit since I've moved from that house. But the one thing I know is it was not the house, the land.
Okay. And then, yeah, that's also another issue. You have to clear the land or the space, and there could be something in that area that's disruptive. When you're doing this and you're doing an assessment for people, remote or in person, what is the thing that you advise them about their own behavior, their own lifestyle, their own issues that might be helpful?
One thing is this lady would scream and holler and yell at her kids all the time, and the lady who lived in the house before her didn't like it, and every time she would scream, she would drop something, and they would hear all this noise in the house. So I told her, get calm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Clean up your act.
Yeah. Don't get so angry at the kids, and guess what? She won't be there, but she's mad at you.
Yeah. Well, and that's just the opposite of what you would think. You know, they'd be stirring up trouble and getting people to yell. And in this instance, she's saying, okay, cool it. Okay, Chickie, hey, take a chill pill.
Yeah. She's a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mothers do not like to hear other mothers scream at their children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If they're nice people, you know. I mean, maybe some people don't agree with what I just said. But,
that's okay.
You know, and this woman happened to be like that. She did not like the way the people were treating their children. And every time she would do it, in order to get them to stop, she would make a noise. She would drop something. She would do something to get their attention away from the children. And she kept calling me, and I said, well, here's what you do. I didn't even charge her for this. Stop screaming at the kids.
It's pretty easy. It's nice when it's that simple.
But you never know if they take your advice or not, but, you know, there it is.
Okay. So when you are encouraging people to basically make their own connections, I saw the video on YouTube on how to, you know, connect with your own guidance, your own spirit guide, your own helper, however you refer to it, your own higher guidance is probably the easiest way to say it, then you're offering this opportunity for people to really connect with something that they already have in them, that their own psychic ability, their own ESP, whatever you want to term it. And that, I think, is also comforting when you're going into a haunted house situation. So hang on a second here. We'll get into the next break and have you explain a little bit about how that works and how this is something that anybody can access, and getting a little bit of help or support or education on it will give you a whole lot more confidence in what you're experiencing. Does that make sense, Irma?
Oh, it sure does.
Okay. All right. Irma Slage, my guest. Stick around if you want to learn a little bit more about how you can make your own connections and trust your gut when this is happening. Then that's coming up next on Wendy's Coffee House.
I'm waking up. I'm
Wendy's Coffee House Talk Radio, KCMO. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you finding me. I know it used to be early in the morning on Saturday, and that was kind of comfortable for me because the coffee was always hot, fresh now. So tonight, getting the coffee on the way to here is like, well, this is kind of out of sync. However, it was still good. And just want to let you know that you can check out some of the shows in the archives, wendyscoffeehouse.com, upcoming guests. Nancy Talbot, she's done a lot of crop circle research, and even beyond that, some paranormal stuff that's fascinating. Hans Wilhelm, he's got a vlog, Life Explained, on YouTube that's fascinating. Bigfoot and the Psychic Connection, this is fantastic. It's it's really fascinating. Kiwani and Kelly Lapsaritis. And the cool thing about that is Nick Redfern has his new book, like 365 Days of UFOs, and it talks about this UFO and Bigfoot connection, Sasquatch connection, where Kiwani was saying people are making fun of it. Well, Nick Redfern has some of the documentation that I don't even think Kiwani knows about that connects the dots. Anyway, so that stuff's all coming up. Check out wendyscoffeehouse.com. We'll keep up on that and do the archives. And like this show tonight, it'll be in the archives as soon as we're done, too. So, Irma, in terms of people connecting, and I'm, you know, anybody has their own sense of intuition, how to take that to the next level and pay attention to it and work it so that you're aware of the other non-physical things that are in your reality. That's what you offer advice on in the Guide to Having Your Own Spirit Contact, Psychic Encounters, one of the books that you have.
And the important thing that have to know is that we can't explain everything. There's always something going on that we can't explain. And I tell people about their guides. We each have a guide. A male usually has a male guide. Female usually has a female guide. And if you really want to test it, before you go to sleep, ask a question, something that you need help with, something that is confusing to you that you need help with, whatever is on your mind at that time. And then the next morning when you get up and you're getting ready and you're doing some mundane thing, maybe the dishes, maybe getting dressed, whatever it is, all of a sudden, about 15 minutes later, you will get an answer. You will all of a sudden have clarity in something. And that's communication with the spirit world, but that's directing it where you want an answer.
So the dreaming helps.
Dreaming helps 100% when you wake up. Your feeling is the most important. So you use all your senses. You use your eyesight and your hearing. But feeling is the best, because when you wake up, you'll know, was that a dream that seemed real, or was that a dream do I feel is not real? Did I listen to that dream? Everything is your feelings.
When you were talking earlier about the remote viewing and, you know, going to an area, a house, a space, and doing a clearing for that, what is that like for you? Because some people already have the experience of going out of body or having a lucid dream, and so this isn't new territory. How do you make that more of an intended experience?
Well, I look at going to a different place as though I'm already there. So if I want to go to a house, for instance, let's say I'm clearing out a house and I want to go through it and make sure that something is right in that house. And let's say that it's 500 miles away. Well, I have the address, so I picture myself in that house already. And I go through the house and I'm looking at everything. It's a conscious effort to make sure that I'm at the house by describing to the owner, while I'm on the phone with her or maybe later on, the furniture that's in the house. Maybe it has really low ceilings, something unique about the house, so that I make sure that I get to the right place. But it's just my mind saying, okay, I want to go to this house now.
That sounds really easy.
It's easy for me. I don't know if it would be easy for anybody else. It just seems easy for me.
Well, it helps to have you explain it and give people kind of a template of how it works for you, because a lot of times then if you adjust it for yourself and figure out, okay, it didn't work this time, maybe if I change a little bit, you know, if I get a picture, a real picture, have somebody, you know, send me a photograph, then maybe that'll help enhance the ability. And that goes, I think, just with your experience saying it's been 6 years since you were in that house and you've learned a whole lot more since then. Experience makes a huge difference.
It does. And it makes me, I've done so many houses since then, using different techniques that the spirit world has taught me, that I decided on my own to go back to that house and clear it out for the next people. Although I have to say that not everybody who lived in that house felt anything. I always wanted to knock on the door and ask, have you, you know, felt anything? But I did ask the people before me who lived there, and they didn't really feel anything. So are we lucky to feel? I think so. I like knowing what's around me. But not everybody does.
Well, my question is then, so maybe you were more in sync with whatever was there as like a portal or another kind of a window where certain events happen at certain times or certain people draw the events to them. Does that make sense?
I think it was more the land that drew the people. I don't think it was towards me because when I moved, certainly nobody came with me.
Right, right.
This house that I live in right now is the calmest, clearest house I've ever lived in, and that's why every time I walk in the door, I say, thank you, house!
That's a good sign. That means you're not dragging around baggage either.
No, I'm not. Yeah, it's so great. You know, everything in this house is so calm. I never want to leave it, actually.
Oh, well, wait. Well, yeah. You might want to clarify that.
I don't want to leave the house. In other words, maybe one day, you know how
yeah.
we move.
Yes,
And, you know, we don't know we're going to move. Maybe something happens where you want to move to a different house or a different area. And actually, I'm enjoying this house so much that it would be one of those where I look on and say, well, this is one of the best houses I've ever lived in.
Hey, Irma, I thank you for your time tonight. Give people an idea how they can connect with you and then your books. What would you recommend to start out with?
I like Phases of Life After Death and then go on to the next one, which tells about your, you know, different psychic experiences. You can reach me at irmaslage@gmail.com or go on Facebook and find me there.
Okay. And, you know, this is something that I think more people are becoming comfortable talking about it, and whether they joke about it or make it, you know, feel like it's a little lighthearted. I find people approaching me and saying, well, what do I do? So I would really, if you're listening, connect with Irma and give her a chance at giving you a little bit of insight. In the meantime, Irma, have a good night. Yay, the night is young for you.
Yes, thank you, Wendy. You have a good night, too.
Thank you. Thank you. And then upcoming guests, I've got them all listed. Wendy's Coffee House, Blogspot. Okay, Irma has one there. You can do a Google, you'll find it on Blogspot. Anyway, check it out because we've got guests that we did from last year. Still, there are some really dynamite guests. I want to get Stan Seba back. He's the MUFON guy for Kansas to talk about what's going on here. And then I want to find out more from PMH Atwater, another book. She's got a new one, Proof of God and the Near-Death Experience. That's coming up. Leslie Kane has a new one. You know, she had the one with the UFOs, generals on the record, all that good stuff. Surviving Death is her latest one. So there's a lot of good stuff coming out right now. Great time to talk about it because, well, you know, everything else is chaos. We might as well get into the real stuff happening behind the scenes. Stay curious. Till next time, next Sunday, Wendy's Coffee House. See ya.